أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: إن الله يحب التوابين ويحب المتطهرين. Yesterday we began our discussion for the series of six talks that we have during this first week of the month of Ramadan, that we'll be talking about the concept of tawbah, various aspects about it. And I wanted to start, which I actually somehow missed out yesterday, with the ayat that which I have selected as the theme. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Baqarah, ayat number 222, He talks about one of the ghusl, the ablution that which is wajib for the Muslims. And at the end of that, He ends by saying, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الطَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَحِّرِينَ, which means that verily Allah loves those who do tawbah, and He loves those who cleanse themselves. Now, when you look at the wording, sometimes you see even a single word, the way it has been used in the ayat of Quran, is a point of reflection. The ayat is about ghusl, one of the aghsal, which are wajib. At the end, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ended the ayat by saying, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَحِّرِينَ, it would have been relevant. That He talked about taharat, and He says He loves those who do taharat. But in between here, before that, He adds these words, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الطَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَحِّرِينَ. What is tawbah to do with that theme? This is where the point of reflection comes in. And when you think about it, this is an indirect message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give to us. That although the ayat is talking about physical cleanliness in form of ghusl, but Allah wants to emphasize that before that, more important is the purification of the soul. And therefore, He says, I love those who do tawbah. Because remember yesterday we talked about it. The body, when it becomes najis, we make it tahir and pure by using water. The soul, when it becomes najis, corrupt, we purify it by the process of tawbah. And by saying that yuhibbu at-tawwabin before yuhibbu al-mutatahhirin, it's an indication that yes, we have to keep ourselves clean, but remember the purity of the soul is even more important in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yesterday, talking about the issue of the reality of tawbah, the emphasis was that tawbah is not just words. It's not just saying, Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa atubu ilayh. Rather, it is actually what we call action. It is an inner change or the spiritual, you know, revolution within us. The words Astaghfirullah or that, oh Allah, I do tawbah, these words don't have any meaning unless they reflect the inner change which is going through us. And that is where we have to realize that, you know, we spent a long, many, many years in our life not realizing that tawbah is not words. Tawbah is actually the action which needs to take place within ourselves. I ended with the hadith of Amir al-Mu'mineen about the issue of sajda, and to basically extract this concept of importance of istighfar and tawbah in our worldly life. I would like to now emphasize more about this importance of tawbah in our life. We really have taken it very lightly. We just say, you know, tawbah, yeah, tawbah, so what? But just look at it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for what? Basically, He says, لِيَبْلُؤُكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا in Surah Mulk, that I would like to test you. So test and trial is the purpose of our creation. Now, He did not just throw us in an examination hall without guidance. He provided guidance for us through the Anbiya, Mursaleen, Imams, and the books. And then He guarantees that there will be a day of judgment when I'm going to recompense you. If you do good, I will reward you. And if you do bad, I'm going to punish you. Now, if that was the end of the story, we are infallible. We are not infallible. We are not ma'asum. We have this, you know, but not only the potential, but there is a pull to disobey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and commit sins. If this was the end of the story, that Allah sent us for bala, for ibtila and imtihan, and He says, this is the guidance. Now you, if you follow it, I'll reward you. If you don't follow it, you go to Jahannam. If that is the case, realizing we are not infallible, we are doomed. Each one of us. Other than those who have been made pure and ma'asum by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is where we see, this is where the door of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens. The hope of forgiveness is there. It is tawbah which takes away this, you know, sense of being doomed right from the very beginning. And this is where we have to realize, you know, this meaning of our life in this dunya and the hope for the salvation in the akhirah, everything boils down to this small word tawbah. Because we are not ma'asum, we are bound to commit mistakes again and again and again. If we turn back to Him with total sincerity, then, you know, it's not this sense of doom. Rather, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, huwa al-aziz al-ghafoor. He is powerful. He knows everything that we do. Nobody can challenge His judgment. But at the same time, He says, I am a ghafoor, most forgiving. So this is where we have to realize that, you know, tawbah is basically the key to our salvation in the hereafter. If this was not there, we were doomed from the very beginning of the whole process. Let me, you know, go back to the story of Adam alayhi salam. Because this message has been given to us right from the very beginning. 2 years ago, before that actually, when we had the Ramadan here in person, we talked about the story of Shaitan and even the situation and the challenge that Adam alayhi salam went through. And so I'm not going through the story, I'll just summarize the conclusion of that story. You have heard this story many, many times from different people. When you look at the story of Adam alayhi salam right in the beginning after his creation, in the creation itself and the situation of malaika being told to do sajda, the very first thing we get is the potential which is there in every human being, in every insan, to ascend to a level even that of the malaika. The dharf is there, the potential is there, capability is there, if the human beings want to go even higher than the status of the malaika. The second thing we saw in the story of Adam alayhi salam was the issue of, you know, temptation of the good things around. He was given everything, only told not to go to this one tree, but that's where the focus was. So this is again the second thing we have this potential, but we also have this other pull towards the material good. And then you have this shaitan in the whole story, who is presented in the story as the arch enemy of the human beings, of Adam and his children. You know, this is where he will try to take you away from that potential that you have. And that's where you see that Adam and Hawa are now being sent down to the earth. And when they are sent down, what happens? The ayat from Surah Baqarah, ayat number 38 and 39 says, قُلْنَا أَحْبَتُ مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we told them all, Adam, Hawa, as well as Iblis, go down to the earth. فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدًى, And surely now guidance will come to you. Because dunya is Darul Bala. This is your examination, you know, hall. Now the guidance will come to you. فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ Whoever follows my guidance, فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ They don't have to worry about anything. There is no worry for them. No huzn, no khawf, no fear. But those who reject, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا Those who reject, refuse to accept this ayat of Allah, أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارُ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ They are the people of the Jahannam, the fire, and they will be there forever. So this is the whole process which I talked earlier. Even in the story of Adam, we see the same thing. If you follow, you will have no worry in the Akhirah. If you don't follow, Jahannam is the way. And this is where the door of Tawbah is then open for the human being as a hope for us. And in this, Adam alayhi salam, our father, he really was a very concerned father for us. He loved us, although we haven't seen him, he hasn't seen us. He's the one who now talks about this situation. After going through that first, you know, mini version of the challenge. And we have in Al-Usul Al-Kafi of Sheikh Kulaini, there is a narration from Abdullah bin Bukair bin A'yun. And this is a very muwathaq hadith, reliable one, from either Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam or Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. Because this fellow had seen both of them. But at that time he didn't remember exactly whether it was the fifth Imam or the sixth Imam. And the Imam, you know, talks about this conversation between Adam alayhi salam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this whole incident which happened with him. And this is where he says, Ya Rabbi, Sallatta alayya shaytan wa ajraytuhu minni majri al-dam. Faj'al li shay'an. That, oh Allah, you have imposed shaytan on me. Not forcefully, but you know, he's there now as a problem for me. And not only that, you made him to flow in me, in the blood vessels. What does it mean? If the blood is not there, you're not alive. This Adam alayhi salam is saying, Allah, you know, he is there constantly. He doesn't leave me alone. That's the sense of this phrase. That, you know, he is actually just like the blood is flowing in my veins. He is there all the time. And so, فَجْعَلْ لِي شَيْئًا Oh Allah, give me something to deal with the shaitan. You know, something as a support. And this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to him by saying, Ya Adam, ja'altu laka, O Adam, I grant you following things. Six items. Number one, he says, and now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the descendants of Adam, the children of Adam. مَنْ حَمَّ مِنْ ذُرِّيَتِكَ بِسَيِّئَةٍ لَمْ تُكْتَبْ عَلَيْهِ Number one, if anyone from your children, your descendants, does the intention of doing a sinful act, only the niyat, the intention of doing a sin, but he doesn't do it, then get the opportunity, then what will happen? Allah says that will not be recorded. So an evil intention which was not implemented, Allah says, I will just ignore it. One thing. Then he says, فَإِنْ عَمِلَهَا كُتِبَتْ عَلَيْهِ سَيِّئًا But if he then implements his intention of doing evil, then that one guna or sin will be counted as one in the record. Number three, وَمَنْ حَمَّ مِنْهُمْ بِحَسَنَةٍ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَعْمَلَهَا كُتِبَتْ لَهُ حَسَنَةٍ On the flip side, if anyone from the children of Adam has the intention of doing good, but didn't get the opportunity to do that, just the niyat of khair was there, but the opportunity didn't avail itself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will continue, count that as one good deed. Niyat of evil, he said, I'll forget it. Niyat of khair, it will be counted as one good deed. فَإِنْهُ عَمِلَهَا. Number four, Allah says, if he does that good deed, then I'll reward him, not one for one by ten. There is an ayat of Quran, وَمَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرَ أَمْثَالِهَا. Whoever comes with, you know, one good deed, I will reward him 10 times. As if now the conversation comes to an end. But our dear father, Adam, was concerned for us. So he says, Ya Rabbi Zidni, Wallah more. Say something more. And we really should be thankful to our father there. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, number five, he says, وَعَنَّ مَنْ عَمِلَ مِنْهُمْ سَيِّئَةً ثُمَّ اسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُ غَفَرْتُ لَهُ. Okay, I give you one more. If anyone from your children who has done the evil, the sinful act, if he then comes to me and asks for forgiveness, I will forgive him. Adam doesn't feel satisfied. Ya Rabbi Zidni. Oh my Lord, a little bit more. And this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَهُمُ التَّوْبَةِ حَتَّى تَبْلُغَ النَّفْسَ هَذِهِ. They have this, the door of tawbah and the opportunity of tawbah will be available for them till the last breath of their life. And this is where Adam alayhi salam says, Ya Rabbi Hasbi. Oh Allah, I'm thankful for you. And so we see that this issue of tawbah and istighfar is right there in the beginning of the story of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Salawat. This issue of, you know, doing the niyat of sayyi'ah, the intention of a sin, and Allah says, I just ignore it. It's not even written down. Even the malaika who are recording our deeds are told, just forget about it. Not only that, actually you are given a window of 7 hours. This is another hadith, not in the conversation of Adam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is another hadith from the sixth Imam, coming from Abu Basir. Again, in Al-Kafi, where his Imam says that when somebody does an evil deed, أُجِّلَ فِيهَ سَبْعَ سَاعَاتٍ مِنَ النَّهَارِ. 7 hours are there where you have this opportunity. If he says, Astaghfirullah, then that is not even recorded to be erased. So for the first 7 hours, nothing is recorded as far as the sins are concerned. And Allah says, you know, okay, come back. Tawbah means to return. Remember yesterday we talked about it. And if you come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within those 7 years of, 7 years too long, 7 hours. 7 hours from the time of committing sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will forgive him. It will not even be recorded to be erased later on. And this is where we have to realize, you know, just think about it. 7 hours. If somebody does something haram early morning, by Zuhr time, is it 7 hours or less? If somebody does something evil after Zuhr, between that time and Maghrib, I don't know, summer timings, what happens, but yeah. But otherwise, Maghrib time is still, and that's where when you sit down between the two sajdas, That's the point of reflection. That's where we have to connect the words to the reality. I need to sit down when I'm saying Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa Atubu Ilayh. In my mind, I should have what I have done. It's not just the ritual words I'm saying because this is what I've been taught in Salat. And so that window of 7 hours is again a reflection of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is very beautifully, you know, explained in the Islamic teachings. Sometimes we are told that, oh, in Islam, you know, God is very stern, you know, revengeful, and it's all about azab and jahannam. They don't know that when it comes to the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is more powerful. Look at Surah number 39, ayat 53, a beautiful ayat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. O Muhammad, say to my servants who have been unjust to themselves. When we commit sins, we are putting ourselves into the, you know, liability of azab. So we are being unjust to ourselves. O Muhammad, say to these people, لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Do not ever lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah is willing to forgive all the sins. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. He is the most forgiving and the merciful. However, one point here, we should not be thinking that, oh, it's a blank check that we have. أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Who have been unjust to themselves, not about others, that still has accountability. There is door of tawbah there, but inshallah will come later on one of the discussions, the conditions of acceptance of the tawbah for the sins where we have violated the rights of others. But for tonight, let me end with a very beautiful ayat again. Adam alayhi salam is our father. You know, he had concern for us, and he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have this, you know, Babu Tawbah, the door of Tawbah open for us. But there is another entity in this universe who also deserve our thanks, because they also constantly pray for the forgiveness of those who are good doers and the mu'mineen. And those are the Malaika. In Surah number 40, which is known as Surah Al-Mu'min or Surah Ghafir, you know, Ghafir is more probably relevant. It talks about the maghfirah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, ayat number 7, 8, and 9, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ يَحْمِلُونَ الْعَرْشِ وَمَنْ حَوْلُهُ. That those angels who bear the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and those who encircle around it, يُسَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ وَيُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ. They glorify the praise of their Lord and believe in Him. And what else do they do? وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And they ask forgiveness for the believers. How do they do that? They say, رَبَّنَا وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ رَحْمَةً وَعِلْمًا. O our Lord, whose mercy and knowledge embraces everything. فَغْفِرْ لِلَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَاتَّبَعُوا سَبِيلَكَ. O Allah, forgive those who have done tawbah. So they are especially, you know, emphasizing on those who have done tawbah and who have followed your path. وَقِهِمْ عَذَابَ الْجَحِيمِ. And, you know, save them from the fire of Jahannam. رَبَّنَا وَأَدْخِلُهُمْ جَنَّاتِ عَدْنٍ أَلَّتِي وَعَدْتُهُمْ. And Allah, admit them into the perpetual gardens that you have promised them. وَمَنْ صَلَحَ مِنْ آبَائِهِمْ وَأَزْوَاجِهِمْ وَزُرِّيَاتِهِمْ. And not only them, but their good parents and spouses and their children. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. You are the powerful and the wise. وَقِهِمْ السَّيِّئَاتِ. And O Allah, keep them away from the consequences of evil deeds. وَمَنْ تَقِ السَّيِّئَاتِ. And whoever keeps away from the consequences of the evil deeds, فَقَدْ رَحِمْتَهُ. Wallah, you have showered your rahmah on him. وَذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. And your rahmah on someone, that is indeed a great achievement. And so remember, tawbah has a very crucial role in our life and the salvation in the hereafter. And always remember that Allah's mercy is there, His forgiveness is there. Actually, 91 times in the Quran, He calls Himself as Al-Ghafoor. And 5 times He calls Himself as Al-Ghaffar. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins, to give us the wisdom of understanding the reality of tawbah during this holy month of Ramadan. And Allah keep us among the true followers of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad, salawatullah al-ajma'een.